You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. And now, here's Rick with part two of a message called, Where Did We Come From?
Here's the second reason you have sanctity in your life, because God planned your life before you were born. Did you know that? On the back of your outline, God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Did you get that? He says, before even conception, he says, I knew you. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart for my holy purposes. Did you know that God had a purpose for your life before you took your first breath? Did you know that God says he knew you before you were even conceived? He thought of you. He conceived you before your parents conceived you. God says, I planned you in advance. I planned your birth. There are examples of this all through Scripture. The Bible tells us that John the Baptist was actually filled with God's Spirit while he was in his mother's womb. Why? Because God had a plan and a purpose for his life. In fact, here are a couple of scriptures. Look up here on the screen. Isaiah said, the Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by name. God knew Isaiah's name before his parents gave him the name. God called him before he was born. What does that mean? God had a calling on his life. The reason Isaiah was conceived is God had a purpose for his life. God said, I'm putting this purpose on the planet, and I'm going to use these parents. I'm going to use them because I want to bless the world through this man. The same is true with you. God designed you in his image, and he planned you before your birth. Look, here's what God said to Rebecca. Look up on the screen. God said to Rebecca, the sons in your womb, by the way, he didn't say fetuses. He said, the sons in your womb shall become two rival nations. One will be stronger than the other. And the older shall be the servant of the younger. God already knew what was going to happen to these two boys. He already knew. Why? Because he had a plan for their life. This is why we don't believe in abortion. Because abortion short circuits God's plan. God thought of you long before your parents did. And what if you had been aborted, then you could not fulfill the purpose God put you on this planet. God put you here for a reason. And God says, I don't want my plan, I don't want my purpose short-circuited by anybody else. He made you in his image, he planned you before birth. There's a third reason you have sanctity in your life, and that's because God made you for his pleasure. You were planned for God's pleasure. The Bible says this in Revelation 4. You, God, created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist, and they were created. You look around at the universe, everything you see, God made it for his own enjoyment. God made it to enjoy it. You look at it, you find a tree, God says, I made that because I enjoyed it. I enjoy it. You look at a waterfall or sunset, God made it to enjoy it. You look at yourself in a mirror, God made you to enjoy you. It's why you were created. You're not here by accident. God put you on this planet because he wanted to love you, he wanted to enjoy you, and he wants you to learn to enjoy him back. And God just enjoys watching you be you. A lot of times we think that God only gets excited or happy or smiles at us when we're doing something spiritual like going to church. But the fact is, God enjoys you when you're just doing the things that he created you to do. If you're good at making sales or closing deals, God says, that's my boy, when you do it. If you're good at painting or writing or crocheting or cooking, when you do that, God says, that's my boy, that's my girl. When you're good at teaching or you're good at planning or you're good at whatever you do, God looks down at you and goes, that's my girl. He enjoys watching you be you. Now, I understand this as a parent. When my kids were small, They did all, they didn't have to do, they didn't have to be quoting the Bible for me to love them. I just loved them when they were just squirreling around, being kids. You know, writing with crayons on the wall and spilling milk and jumping on the trampoline and tossing off the bed and getting up 100 times at night and, you know, all of the things that kids do. I just enjoyed them being kids. And sometimes I'd go into the room at night and then I'd just sit down and enjoy them sleeping. Sometimes I enjoyed that the most. And I'd just watch them sleep and I'd watch them breathe. And I go, I got so much pleasure out of that. Did you know that God gets pleasure out of watching you be you? Why? He made you. And he loves you like a heavenly father. Only he loves you in a perfect way. I could only love my kids in an imperfect way. And so God says, no, I enjoy you. That's why I made you. Now he enjoys it especially when you talk back to him. I can't imagine if my 3 kids had grown up in my house and had never said a single word to me. That would break my heart. But I know people who go months and years, and maybe even their entire life, and never talk to God. And they never tell him that they love him. And they never tell God that they're thankful, that they're alive. And they never get to know God, never develop a relationship. Some of you who are parents know what it's like to have the pain of a broken relationship with a child. And how much that hurts you when that fellowship is broken between you and your child. Imagine how God feels a zillion times over when people that he created won't even acknowledge that he exists. Won't even acknowledge that he gave them everything that they have in life. It's all because of him. You see, you were made by God. You were made for his pleasure. And God says, everything you have in your life really comes from me. You would have nothing without God. Zero. Well, I just wrote down a few verses from the Bible on this. Look up here on the screen. The Bible says, you, God, are the one who hears prayers. And the next verse says, you, God, are the one who saves me. And the next says, you are the one who forgives my rebellious acts. And the Bible says, you, God, are the one who put me together in my mother's body. And the Bible says, you, God, are the one who determines my destiny. God is the one we owe all of our gratitude to. Now, because God made you in his image, you are not an accident. And that means, first of all, your life has sanctity. Nobody's got a right to take it. Number two, your identity has dignity. Your identity has dignity. Now, deep inside you, what you want most of all in life is you want dignity. You may not realize it, you may not call it that, but that's what you want. Everybody wants to feel that their life matters. You want to feel like your life is worth something, that your life is valuable, that there is significance to your life, that you're not just a zero, a cipher, a zip, a nada, nothing in the scheme of things. You want to feel like your life matters, that it counts, that it has value and worth and dignity, and you crave it. Now, what is it that gives dignity? Well, we try all kinds of things, but you don't get dignity from wealth. You don't get it from fame. You don't get dignity from sex. You don't get dignity from physical beauty. Oh, no. Dignity is much, much deeper than all those things. Your significance will never come from any of those things. And when you try to find significance in those things, you will be deeply disappointed. It's much deeper. You know, you can have it all by the world's standard. Money, sex, power, fame, beauty, and still feel like a fake inside. Why? Because you were made for more. Where does real dignity come from? Real significance? It comes from 3 things, and they all come from God. It's the next 3 verses. First, real dignity comes from realizing that God sacrificed Jesus, his son, for you. When you realize that, you realize that God considered you valuable enough to die for. You were worth dying for. Have you ever realized that? God considered you valuable enough to die for. The Bible says this: God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. And he did this for you. God says, you want to know how much you're valuable, how much dignity I think you have? He says, look at the cross. And Jesus says, this is how valuable you are to me. This is how valuable you are to God. You're worth dying for. You're worth going through all the pain of the passion. You're worth going through all that suffering. You're worth letting them nail nails in my hand. That's how much you're worth. How much is something worth? I'll tell you, whatever a buyer's willing to pay for it. If you've ever had a car and tried to sell it, and you think it's worth X amount, it's not worth that. It's worth whatever somebody's willing to pay. And if nobody's willing to pay what you think it's worth, you're never going to get it. Whether it's a house, or I could hold up a comic book. And for some people, that comic book might be worth a quarter, but to somebody else, it might be worth $250,000 because they knew it had some significance to them. Value is determined by what somebody's willing to pay for it. God was willing to pay for you, for your salvation, with his own son, with his own life. He came to earth. He said, I'd rather die than live without you. That shows dignity. And when you realize that God sent his son to die for you, you should never again worry about low self-esteem. You're valuable to God. That's why the Bible says this in 1 Peter 2:17, up here on the screen, treat everyone you meet with dignity. Why does he say that? Because everyone you meet was loved by God. Everyone you meet, Jesus died for. You will never meet anybody that Jesus Christ didn't die for. Doesn't matter if they believe it or not, accept it or not. Doesn't matter if they believe in God or not. The Bible says you treat them with dignity because I died for them. And I love them. I created them, I love them, and I died for them. And you treat them with dignity. And he says everybody. That means believers and non-believers. It means people you agree with and people you disagree with. It means old people and young people, you treat them with dignity. It means Republicans and Democrats and independents. I don't see much treating with dignity today in the political scene. I just see people demonizing each other and making them inhuman. It means treating women with dignity, and it means treating men with dignity. It means treating everybody, whether you agree with them or not, whether they're an atheist or a New Age person or whatever. Anybody, he says, you treat it with dignity because I died for them. I died for them. And that gives them dignity. It's the second thing that gives us dignity. It's when you realize that the Holy Spirit lives in your life. When you invite Jesus Christ into your heart and you say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. What does that mean? You're saying, God, I want you to put your spirit inside of me. Come and live inside this body. And as you begin to get to know him, you begin to learn when it's God talking to you and when it's just your mind talking to you. And you go, oh, I'm getting this leading. I'm getting this little prompting. It's nothing spooky. It's just God says, this is what I want you to do. And he doesn't have to say it aloud because his spirit is put inside of you. He wants you to do the loving thing and the kind thing and the important thing. And God puts his spirit in you, inside of you. Now, it's not automatic. You have to invite him inside your heart. You have to say, Jesus Christ, put your spirit inside of me. He's not going to bully his way in. God isn't going to force you to do anything. He made you in his image, which means he gave you the freedom to choose. Animals don't have the freedom to choose. You do. You can choose to reject God. You can choose to turn your back on him. But when you say, God, I'm choosing you, he, like a gentleman, comes into your heart. And he says to be the manager of your life. Notice this next verse. 1 Corinthians 6 says, haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit? You know, the King James Version says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times you hear athletes say on TV or at the gym or something, they say, well, I believe my body is a temple. And I want to say, a temple of what? What kind of God is inside that temple? Is it just you, yourself? You see, when anybody says, I believe my body is a temple, they're actually quoting the Bible, but they're only quoting part of the verse. The Bible says your body is the temple, the home, the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not to be the temple for just anything. God said, I want it to be the temple for me. I created you to want me in your heart. He says, don't make it a temple for anything else. Make it a temple for God's Spirit. And you invite him in. He says he lives within you, and your own body does not belong to you. Why? It belongs to God. One day you're going to give up this body and you're going to keep on going. The body belongs to God. You got it on loan for about 80 years. But one day you're going to turn it in at the rental shop. Now, God says, I sacrificed Jesus for you. That shows your dignity. I am willing to come and live in your life, in your body. And God doesn't put his spirit in a junk can. So that shows your dignity. And there's a third reason. Jesus gives you a new identity. When you come to him, he gives you a new identity. When you start trusting Jesus Christ, he transforms your life. He makes things better. He makes things new. The Bible says this. Anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being, a new person inside. The old is gone and the new has come. We've talked about this before, that when you come to Jesus Christ, it's like he writes everything you've ever done wrong on a big blackboard, and he says, no, we're just going to erase all that, okay? We're going to start over. You're going to get a fresh new start. From this day forward, the day that you step across the line and you invite Jesus into you, this is a new you, okay? We're going to call it being born again. It's like starting completely over. It's like a fresh new life, not just a new leaf, but a total new life. And he says, I'm going to give you a new identity. And that's what happens. It's a transforming thing. Now, let me tell you why this is important. I'm going to be real blunt with you. You have done some things in your life that you're very ashamed of. You have done some things in your life you're ashamed of. So have I. And there are a lot of things in our lives that we wish, man, I wish I could do that over. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't messed up that relationship. I wish I could replay the tape and back it up and do a mulligan, a do-over, and just get a fresh start. I wish I could just take that off the slate. Why? Because every time you and I sin, it damages your dignity. Sin doesn't just hurt God, it hurts you. When you break God's principles, you don't just hurt other people and God, you hurt yourself. It damages your dignity. And every time you sin, it replaces a little bit of self-respect with a little bit of shame. And it begins to pile up in your life. And you begin to try to push it out of the way by staying busy or playing sports or getting drunk or having parties or whatever. But it's there. And when you put your head down at night, you're going, man, I sure messed up. And every time you blow it, it robs you of dignity. But Jesus Christ is in the dignity restoring business. He says, when you come to me and you give your life to me, he goes, we're just going to wipe that out. It's starting over. So it's like if you came to Christ tonight and go, okay, Jesus, give me a fresh start. And then you die tomorrow and you go to heaven. And you say, now, God, about that sin that I did last week, he's going to go, what sin? God's going to say, I distinctly remember forgetting that. He intentionally forgets it. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is where these guys, these religious leaders, they catch this prostitute and they pull her out of bed and they bring her to Jesus and they throw her in front of Jesus on the ground. They have no respect. They are not treating her with dignity. And they throw her on the ground and they said, okay, they're trying to trap Jesus. And the religious leaders say, okay, Lord, if you're so smart, the law requires that this immoral woman be stoned because we caught her in the act of adultery. What do you say? Jesus just looks at him. Doesn't say a word. And he kneels down in the ground and he starts, the Bible says, writing in the sand. Now, it doesn't tell us what he wrote. I think he was just doodling. I think he's making them sweat it. Just kind of doodling around here, you know. Now, what he could have been doing, he could have been writing in the sand the names of the sins of each of those leaders. Because he would have known it. He was God. He would have known what they had done wrong. He could have just write it in there. But then he stands back up and he says, okay, whichever of you has never sinned, you get to cast the first stone. Well, of course, they all know nobody's perfect. They've all blown it. And one by one, they walk away. What was Jesus doing? He was protecting that woman's dignity. Did he agree with what she was doing? No. Was she doing wrong? Yes. But did he protect her dignity in public? Absolutely. And so all of the accusers leave. And then in the privacy of that one-on-one tender moment, Jesus said to this woman, who undoubtedly was filled with shame, he says, "Where are your accusers?" And she looks up and she says, "Lord, they're all gone." He says, "I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." That's it? That's all he's going to say? I mean, he could have pulled out a 10-point sermon on adultery. Don't do this. Yeah, you did that, but let me tell you what else you did. And really loaded it on her. See, a lot of people think that's the way God is. A lot of you are afraid to come and confess to God what you've done wrong because you think you're going to get a scolding when you come and confess to him. And you think that if you come and say, "God, I blew it," God's going to go, "Oh, how did I miss that one?" You know, and he's going to be shocked as if he doesn't already know. And then that he's going to say, "And not only did you do that, you did these 10 other things too." No, he's not going to do that. He responds to you in love and in grace and in mercy. And when he said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "They're gone." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. I don't accuse you. Go and sin no more." What's it? He just says, "Don't do it anymore." She didn't need a sermon. She knew it was wrong. Nobody needed to tell her why what she was doing was wrong. He just said, "Don't do it anymore. You're better than that. You got dignity. Don't do that anymore." That's all he said. And she walks away. You see, when you come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, he forgives you immediately. And then second, he restores your dignity. Now listen very carefully. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've done it with. I don't care how long you've done it or where you did it. To God, it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is what direction your feet are headed now. He says your past is past. And he says your life has sanctity and your identity has dignity because I died for you. And I want to put my spirit in your heart. And I will give you a brand new identity. And I can make all things new. Nobody else can. But Jesus in your life can give you a fresh start.
What a great message from Pastor Rick today. There's something I always take away from his message. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to 5 specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you, that's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe it. Daily Hope, that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309.
And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.